Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. This is episode 304 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here this week, as well as content from Steve and Jeremy. Because Jeremy's going to be having a chat with John and Jacob. We'll be hearing them and some of their music. We'll also have music this week from Passion Star. You may remember a while ago we caught up with Adam Sweet. Well, he was on a radio programme I did on WCRFM this week, so he's given me some of his tracks to scatter throughout the show too. As well as that, you can hear what happened when Steve and I caught up with Janine Graham talking about her website, which finds events that are accessible to all. What's out there for me? We'll find out about that a little bit later on. We'll be celebrating the 100th birthday of Holden's Brewery when we have a chat with Abby Kemp. And we also talked to Darren Grocott about the blue plaque in honour of Kelly Grocott, which is now taken pride of place on the wall of the family home in Coseley. But first of all,
after a massively successful run at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2014, the Reduced Shakespeare Company bring the complete history of comedy, abridged, to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Thursday the 28th of May. To tell us more about it, one of the cast, Andrew Hodges. Hello.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, actually. Very good.
And tell us how you, first of all, became involved with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Well, actually, it's a company I've kind of had my eye on as an actor for a long time, and you know, way back when I was at university, wanting to actually sort of go and see them with their original show, which is still running, the actual, you know, complete works of William Shakespeare. And then just, you know, the offer came up for an audition, and yeah, lucky enough to get it, and I was completely made up, because yeah, it's always been a company I've been interested in sort of getting involved with.
With the subjects they've tackled over the years, whether it be the complete works of Shakespeare or the history of America or the Bible, there's always been a bit of a challenge there, I'm sure, and getting it all done in between, yeah, 70 and 90 minutes is pretty difficult, I would have thought.
Yeah, it is, yeah, but actually the sort of the compact nature of it, the kind of madcap speed, the energy, that's very much the Reduced Shakespeare style, and getting a subject that's so enormous into an hour and a half, that's, you know, that's almost the sort of the absolute, that's the thing they do, and it should, you know, it should fail almost, because the story is really about three guys trying to get information across, and they have that kind of relationship where they're constantly taking the mickey out of each other and trying to, you know, put one over each other, and so it's as much about their relationship as about the subject, so it's supposed to almost fail, but we, you know, the idea is we come out good in the end.
And so tell us who else is working with you on this, because as you say, there are three of you in the cast.
There are three characters, and we swap in and out a bit, which is very nice for us actors, gives us a little break. But there's Gary Fannin. He is a real American. I'm at the moment, obviously you can tell from my voice that I play an American in it, but I'm just a Brit. Gary's been doing it for years. He was back with the Reduced Shakespeare when they were in the West End. And then there is Matt Pearson, who he's an old hand as well. He's done their original show. And then myself and Steve Rostand, we're the newbies. So we've kind of just joined this year.
And when it comes to tackling something like this, are there lessons, first of all, in how to speak really quickly?
Yeah, luckily I've never had a problem with that. In fact, I've probably the other way around. I need to slow down sometimes. But yeah, it can do. It's physical energy as much as anything. You've got to, you know, we have this sort of, I suppose, rule where you never just stroll out on stage. You've got to come out with an energy, like run out, do something. So that lends itself to it. And you realise, before you know it, you realise that you're going at 100 miles an hour. And yeah, you want the audience to almost not have a moment's breath.
So a complete history of comedy, it's one of these things where, yeah, the world of mirth and humour, who knows how far it goes back? There must be a good starting point. Are we talking cavemen here?
Yep, we are. That's almost our very first joke. In fact, it is our first joke. We go right back to cavemen, and we go all the way through you know, ancient Greeks, through Elizabethan period, through all the different styles, music hall, slapstick, you know, double axe, and we try and cover everything.
When alternative comedy came along, and what must be about 20, 30 years ago now, it purports to be something new, but I'm sure, like many things, there is nothing new in this world, is there?
No, I think, you know, I could use an example of that, perhaps, you know, Shakespeare, that the more I read and see Shakespeare, the more I realise that he just loves dirty jokes, and that's, you know, it's always been there, and it is now, and he's, you know, you could call him the original alternative comic as well. Yeah, you're right. It's sort of, everything comes in fashions. I think it was really interesting rehearsals to see what fashions are in at the moment, to see what's gone out of style. you know, I think you look at things like Miranda, that programme, that's a real hark back to sort of 1970s-style sitcoms, and yet it really works.
And, it could easily be Terry and June, that's what you're telling us.
Absolutely. That whole, but that's like looking to the camera thing and sort of the live audience, you know, breaking the fourth wall, getting them involved. Yeah, it's very old style, and it's come back in, which is great.
And when it comes to comedy and your take on it and what you enjoy, how much of that is scattered throughout the show? Are the things that you really identify with?
Yeah, because it was first written for an American audience and it was done in America, we've had to kind of change it slightly, just, you know, sort of hone it down to things that people in this country and Ireland will understand and get. But in doing so, it's very much been our influence, what we found funny, and if I think the kind of rule is, if everyone in the room laughed, then it stayed in, basically.
The whole show itself being a 90-minute show, you come off stage, you must be absolutely shattered at the end of it.
Yes, I'm very fortunate. The character I play, I probably do less in terms of, you know, sort of running around the stage than the others. I'm almost the presenter, if you like. Poor old Steve and Matt, who play the character we know as Green, which wouldn't mean anything to you, that's really just for us, because we actually play ourselves. They, particularly in the first 40 minutes, poor things, they are sweating buckets. They run around full pelt.
And obviously well received by audiences up and down the country now. And yeah, it must have been great fun seeing this sort of thing come together at the Fringe as well. And it's nice when somewhere like the Edinburgh Fringe Festival brings together comedy which can be appreciated up and down the country, because there are sometimes some very odd things that go on up there.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a great proving ground for all sorts of shows, and definitely for us. It really kind of gave us an idea, gave Austin and Reed, the writers and the directors, a real sort of idea of what was working, what wasn't. And it's incredibly different to how it was then, but obviously there's still the skeleton of that show, and we've kind of really honed it and got it sort of buzzing now.
For you, what is your favourite gag that isn't in the show?
Oh, my favourite gag that isn't in the show? Oh, that's really difficult. I'm not quite sure, actually. Yeah, it's a really difficult question to answer, because we've got so much in there. Almost every joke's there.
It is there, so there is nothing missed out. It is, in fact, the complete history of comedy. It is abridged.
It is
at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on Thursday, the 28th of May. For more information, pop along to the Grand Theatre's website, grandtheatre.co.uk, or give the box office a call on 01902 429212. And Andrew Hodges, you will be there. Thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing the show.
Great, thanks very much, then.
Right, let's take our first track from John and Jacob before Jeremy has a chat with them. This is Breaking the Law.
To your heart, baby, I can rock it just right. Just give me a sign. Looking so good, baby, it should be a crime. We'll be right back.
Breaking the Law from John and Jacob. And now over to Jeremy.
For those that don't know about you, because you're still a relatively new act over here,
sure.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself to begin with.
We're from Birmingham, Alabama. We live in Nashville now. Me and John are over here. It's called John and Jacob. We started out as a two-piece, but we've grown into a five-piece band. That's with Jake Thrasher on the bass, Austin Taylor Smith on guitar, and Trevor Davis on drums. And we're kind of, you know, rock and roll meets country, you know, riding that line, you know, making music that we like to do. We love harmonies and
good music. I mean, if we think if we like it, then hopefully somebody else will. So we're our own toughest critic, I guess. So, I don't know, just trying to make good music, and as long as, you know, we can keep doing it, we're going to do it.
We love coming over here. We, you know, we want everybody to know that.
Definitely.
We come over here. First time was with the band Perry. Second time, we had a great response. Second time was with Casey. And then we came back in February. We did our own thing with Holloway Road. They were on the road with us. And then now with the Shires, and we couldn't be more honored to be with these guys. They're killing it, and we're fans of theirs. But we love, you know, everybody in the UK. The fan, you know, we have a fan base that's growing, and we're just getting a lot of love.
You two have actually been friends since you were very young, so 7 years old. You've been in bands on and off throughout your life. What about this project is different to when you started out? Or would you say this is just a continuation of all those years' work?
I would say that. Yeah. I mean, we've always been in a band together since high school, and then we never weren't in a band together.
Right.
This is, it's been, I guess, an evolution of what we want to do. From, because we were doing like rock and roll, like Incubus type stuff, you know, keyboards and delays, guitar pedals, you know, like all kinds of stuff.
And we didn't even know how to play. I mean, we still don't really know how to play guitar that well. But we're, you know, just using effects and stuff and pedals, you know, to make up for that. But we finally got to a point, we've been writing songs. Let's just try to write like a good song instead of just being like cool and like all this, like, you know, just
sounds.
I guess, and instead of being so metaphoric, I guess. You know, just more honest lyric.
Yeah.
And as soon as we did that, that's when we got some people up in Nashville heard about us, Major Bob, and they signed us on as writers, and that's kind of the where it all just started. I mean, this project, and that was actually, and how we got the name, everybody asked us how we got John and Jacob.
Yes.
You know? So the story behind that is, so we're at the publishing office, and we get a phone call that Band Perry, they were at the same publishing at the time, Major Bob, in Nashville. They gave us a call and said, won't you go on the road with us? Well, we just had been making, you know, demos at Major Bob, and we're like, we got to have something to give them, you know, to want to give our music, you know? So it was like, okay, we got to think of a name, and I think it was Jesse, I think it was Jesse.
Everybody,
right? Everybody was just like, we're trying to think of something, and someone just said John and Jacob, and we're like, go with it. It went to print, and that's the story. Yeah.
And so now that the group is expanding, how did you sort of go, okay, look, there was the two of us, it was working as the two of us, we need more? Was it a case that the sound demanded it as such? Your sound was getting bigger and you were like, okay, for this to work, John and Jacob just can't be the two of us.
We were getting a great reaction with just the two of us. It's the sounds that we were hearing, two of us couldn't do. Yeah. So, I mean, like, we wanted...
We'd always been in a band. Yeah. We knew it was a band thing,
We wanted drums.
So, when we're playing, you know, when we play tonight, in our heads, we're going to hear the drums. We're going to hear the bass, you know.
Right.
We all those parts, you know, but it'll just be the two of us.
Right.
So it's always been a band thing. And, you know, in our band is, the you know, we were in a band whenever Aerophonics Atlas was the old band name. Then Johnny and Jacob had it.
Yeah.
And so our drummer from Aerophonics Atlas was a crazy name. They're like, that's got to go. So,
right.
And so... that's the same drummer, you know, we grew up with, and, you know, lived in the same neighborhood, and then we got Jake, which is, he's my cousin, but we all, our friend, you know, like, kind
friends,
of
more, yeah,
you know, like, hanging out back in Birmingham, and, we knew he could play guitar. He's the best guitar player in the band, but he plays bass, so, and then we met Austin in Nashville, but, you know, we just knew it was always going to be a band thing. It's just developing that.
Yeah, so we had some... like the demos and everything, and then we're about to release an album over here.
Yes, yeah.
So really excited about that. All the guys, you know, they recorded on it. So you're going to hear, on this album, you're going to hear the full band. So you may not, I mean, you're going to see me and John, you know, tonight, you know, and previously, but the full album, you know, is everybody playing. And on the cover, we it was Casey Musgraves. We're on the road with her. We're playing at the Tennessee Theater in Knoxville. And Casey's boyfriend, Misa, he's also the band leader, he actually took the shot. That's going to be the cover. Yeah, so that's a little cool little tidbit.
Yeah. So sort of with this album that's coming out, so it's coming out next month over here. What can people expect? So it's country rock, but what do we need to look out for? What's the key sounds, do you think?
This is an album where if you're going outside, there's, you know, get some good weather, put it on. You know, you're gonna have a good time. It's rock. It's rock and roll, is what it is. You know.
Yeah. Just if you want to just sing along or something too, you know, it's just I think it's very singable, pop melody type stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't know. That's like I said. You're just kind of like if we write a song that we like, then think other people will like it as well.
It has very fun moments. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is really fun and that kind of stuff. And then it also has, you know, a few songs on there that are just they're really serious. Mm-hmm. You know, we take very seriously. Overall, I think everybody's just going to really enjoy it. I hope so.
And as an actor, you've actually sort of you're kind of launching yourself simultaneously in the States and here. Was that very much a conscious decision, or was that just kind of, it kind of happened because being over with Van Perry, you'd been over with Casey, it just makes sense to keep it rolling.
Right. Well, we started getting traction over here, and everybody, all the fans are so receptive, you know, to the music, and they just listen, and then they talk to you afterwards, and you can tell that they're appreciative of the music, and it's just kind of like, man, this is not like it is really over in the States. So we keep getting opportunities, and we keep coming back, and now we try to get over here, you know, four times a year, you know, and or more, whatever. More. So,
and the goal is, you know, get the guys over here, let our UK fans see the, you know, full band.
That's the idea, because the picture on the cover, you know, all that, we're full out branding this thing, John and Jacob as a band.
Yeah,
John and Jacob, the five guys. Mm. You know, so that's the goal. I mean, you're seeing two of us right now, but keep pushing. Keep working, things go well, we get the full band, I think people will just flip out over it because it's just a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned sort of the difference between American fans and British fans. Why do you think that is? Because British country is kind of exploding over here, as I'm sure you're aware, it's sort of becoming a sound again.
Right.
Why do you think the audiences here are perhaps more responsive to you than the audiences in the States?
It's not that they're more responsive. I mean, we're getting a great response in the States. Mm. I think the UK fans really understand that we're coming 4,000 miles and they're really listening. And I think they're appreciative of that fact.
Yeah.
When in the States, it's easy just for, you know, people don't, you know, here's another band that's coming. Mm-hmm. I think that UK, you know, like the UK fan base is like really just appreciative of that. And that's what feels really good. And it just carries over even onto, like, social media. When we're playing dates in the States, every single post that we make, you know, me and John are the ones that are writing them, somebody from the UK, if not a handful, are going to say something, you know, just to encourage us on that show or to come back. So that's, it just, you know, kind of fuels us to come.
And just lastly, if you could achieve one thing by the end of 2015, what would that one single thing be?
Get the band over here, get some radio traction, have enough momentum to be able to bring the band over here. If we can do that, then we've done something right.
Yeah.
So, get the guys over here.
Yeah. Get our UK fans, you know, to reach out to their local radio station and tell them they want to hear Ride With Me. That's going to be the first single.
Wrong, but I want you, even if you can't tell by the way that you're looking. I know you want me as well. Never before the night's over, we're both going to get in. So come a little bit closer. Baby, let's go.
there with your finger. Girl, I know what that means. I see you there in the corner. You should be dancing with me. Let me fall, the night's over. We're both going to give in. So come a little bit closer.
Thanks to Jeremy once again for having a chat with John and Jacob, and that was their song Be My Girl. What's Out There For Me is a website which is put together by Janine Graham, who joins us on the phone now. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm all right, tar. So, tell us a bit about the website and how it came about.
Okay, well, the website started because I work at the Grand Theatre as the marketing officer that looks after disability access, and we were looking into Mille Lacs performances way back in 2012, and a lot of the parents I was speaking to were saying that there isn't a lot out there for kids with autism, and if it is, it's really hard to find. And I kind of put that on the back burner and carried on with what I was doing at the Grand Theatre. And then, because I also run a little rainbow unit for Girl Guides, one of my girls had an additional need. And I started to look for activities that were inclusive. And I suddenly discovered what the parents were talking about. And I found it really hard to find anything that I could do with this child that also meant I could include the other children. In my research, I just started listing things and writing down everything that was accessible. And in the end, I thought, well, I've got all this information. I may as well start putting it somewhere and gathering more. So What's Out There For Me was sort of conceived.
So how do we find the website itself?
It's WordPress website, so it's all one word, whatsoutthereforme.wordpress.com.
And there's also a Twitter feed, I believe, as well.
I do. I'm mainly based on Twitter, but so the website's just sort of picking up slowly. So our Twitter is, all capitals, W-O-T for me, so what for me.
And it's really to be a resource to bring things together, so people can actually get in touch with you and tell you about an inclusive event.
Yes, please. Yes. If you know, if you've been somewhere, liked it, loved it, it's inclusive for you and your needs, tell me about it and let's share it with other people.
And I suppose there are different levels of needs that need to be catered for, and you can give some sort of feedback. And will there be user reviews as these things come through as well?
Potentially, yes. If I've got any information, I can start putting it on there and then we can go from there. But I'm not just for those on the autism spectrum and additional needs. Anybody with a disability really can put it on there and let me know about it, and let's just start building a database. There's an awful lot out there in Wolverhampton, and more of us need to know about it.
I was literally just about to ask you if it was based primarily at...
This is the centre of the universe, you see, Wolverhampton.
Well, yeah.
And we start at Wolverhampton, and then we pinwheel out to West Midlands. I also go as far as sort of Scotland, and I think I've got someone in Australia, and several companies in America have also told me about things they do. So, you know, we start in Wolverhampton and then, you know, as the centre of the universe it is.
Radiate out across the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really starting to take off then by the sounds of it. I mean, it's almost international now.
Well, you know, it's just what's out there. And you don't, just because you've got a disability, you don't have to stay at home.
And it also, it is about getting the parents to the right place so they can find out easily.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, whether it be discount vouchers and things as well, you can sort of tie all this together, and as soon as someone knows about it, you can spread the word.
Yeah. I mean, if a company out there does offers, let me know. And we can put it on there and then tell people about it that way.
From where to where are you looking at as far as disability or a condition goes? Is it pretty much you're welcoming all?
I'm going to welcome all because, you know, we're all different and we all need a little bit of help and we all want to get out there and do something.
Have you had any actual companies come to you and give you them sort of direct from the companies and the different activity days, or is it just purely coming from sort of parents and relatives?
It's currently all what I've found via Twitter, but I'm getting a lot of contact via Twitter. I've had one company I spoke to in, I think it's Warsaw, they're Ace Karting, who I found. They also work with Autism West Midlands. And just in Googling companies that, you know, and activities, I found that they do sessions for people with autism, but they also will deal with anybody with a disability. You know, you come at a quiet time, which suits someone with autism better, but at the same time, you know, if you're in a wheelchair and your mobility is such that you can operate a cart, again, come at a quiet time, and you can go around, and it's safer because there's fewer people on the track, but you and your mates can have the same experience as everybody else. It's just about finding the time slots that fit with your needs, that sort of circumvent where the problems would potentially come in.
And people can actually comment directly on the website to let you know about something. You can follow it up. They leave you contact details, and you can see on what you need to do to expand it.
Yeah, that's the advantage of a WordPress, is because it's blog-based. You can sort of get in touch via that way, and then I sort of spread it out across the rest of the website as I've got pages and information starts building.
And put it into the right categories. And are there any new events coming up at the Grand with a more relaxed feel to them?
There are, yes. I've got an exclusive on that one. We've got a relaxed performance of The Cat in the Hat, and that's on Saturday the 5th of September at 10:30 a.m.
So one to put in the diary and get your tickets booked for.
Yep.
And again, this is going to be the same show, but without maybe some of the flashing, the lights, the loud music and the surprises.
Yep, exactly the same show. The lights in the auditorium will be on. The sound will be turned down. There's chill-out zones, a quiet room, and everybody in the auditorium at that performance will be there because they've come to see the relaxed performance of The Cat in the Hat.
01902 429212 to book tickets for that one. You can find out more about the whole venue at grandtheatre.co.uk.
That's the one.
Right, yeah. So give us all of the details again. Where do we find you?
OK, the website is whatsoutthereforme.wordpress.com, and what's out there for me is all one word without the apostrophe between the what.
Because that doesn't work very well in web addresses, does it, unfortunately?
No. And the Twitter is at whatforme, and what is W-O-T.
What, F-O-R-me.
Yeah.
Janine, thank you for joining us. Good to talk to you, and keep us posted as more things arrive on the site.
I certainly will. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janine.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Cheers. Bye.
Hi, I'm John. I'm playing Sam Wheat.
I'm Laura, and I'm playing Molly Jensen.
We're in Ghost the Musical at Wolverhampton Grand Theatre from the 13th to the 16th of May.
It's an amateur production by WBOS. For tickets, you can call the box office on 01902 429212.
Or go to the website grandtheatre.co.uk. Are you still mine? 'Cause I need your love. Cut sweet your love to me.
Someone new. All I want in life is to have something that's better than you. Will you tell me what it's like? Tell me what it's like. I'm gonna be someone special.
Holden's Brewery celebrates 100 years this year. And to tell us more about it, one of the directors joins us on the phone now. That's Abby Kemp. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good. Now, you are really a Holden. The Kemp comes purely from marriage.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, fourth generation.
You should have made him double barrel it. I think that's what you should have had words with the other half here and kept that one going.
Yeah, I did consider it, to be fair, but we have other branches of the family continuing the name on.
That's the way we like it. And if there's one thing that the Holden's family is, it's traditional in many ways.
Yes.
And therefore the fine quality products that you've been producing for a century.
Yes.
Tell us more.
The business started 100 years ago. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother took over a pub and then took the licence on another pub. And the business grew from there, really.
So before you know it, you couldn't stop them. But once you've taken over a pub, you've got to get product from somewhere. And sometimes you really feel you've got to have control over that yourself.
Yes, very much so, yeah. I mean, it was First World War and around that time where production really sort of started to hit its peak.
And what sort of range of products did the company start with and how has that changed over the years?
We just started with quite a simple bitter, as far as I'm aware. As legend has it, the beer was safer to drink than the water back in those days.
It purifies it, doesn't it?
Yes, it did, yeah. So you were recommended to drink the beer instead of the water.
It's a product which has gone literally through generations, both of the family, as you say, with fourth generation, but also it's become, you know, the pint. It's been the regular one that you've gone to your local for.
Yes.
And how many pubs are you in around the country now?
We've got 20 pubs that we own ourselves, and we're probably within about 60 outlets throughout the region, really.
And, you know, has there been anything to stop you heading further afield? It's a beer that I assume travels well.
It does travel well. It's more our sort of, you know, our distribution network. We like to stay within the region. That's where we're comfortable, and that's where people know us.
So how many different varieties do you have on sale these days?
These days we have 4 standard beers that we do, and we have a seasonal beer that we change every month.
And there's rather a special one to celebrate the 100th as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Tell us a little more about the Blonde Bombshell.
Well, the Blonde Bombshell we did, it was more of a craft beer. We took a bit of a different attempt at it, and we used 3 American hops. So we sort of triple hops it, and it was a slightly different style beer for us. More sort of craft beer, and it drinks very nicely.
And what else is there to celebrate the centenary?
We're doing a relay ale trail around the pub estate, and that will culminate in an open day at the brewery on the 15th of August, where we'll have entertainment and a mini beer festival and good old-fashioned Black Country food.
When you're doing events like this, I suppose the focus is on, you know, a family event, but obviously you've got to find your designated driver first.
Yes, yes. It's pretty much, in an ideal world, it would be if people could book minibuses to drop them off and then pick them back up. I think everybody would have better days.
That would be a very sensible way of doing it. And is there the website dedicated to all this as well, so you can find out more?
Yes, we've got a new website being launched. We're rebranding all of our pump clips and our bottle labels for the centenary sort of mid-May, June time, and our new website and online shop will launch at the same time as well.
And what's the web address for all of that?
It's www.holdensbrewery.co.uk.
Well, I mean, congratulations on this century. It's an impressive feat in this day and age. A lot of pubs have been lost, but it's good to know that the traditional ones with really good quality beer keep going.
Fantastic. Thanks ever so much. And thank you to the Black Country for all of your support for 100 years.
Abby, thank you for joining us. Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Cheers.
Your temper, you burst at any moment. Will you be my best friend and consolement? And I know that it's hard to give it back for good. And I've learned that it's good to realize the moment. Lush, 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 lushing out. Let's
head, or you will fall at any moment. My best friend will crumble at any problem.
Moment is finally here. The blue plaque on the house that Kelly Grocott grew up in. The man from ELO is now on the wall to tell us more about it and how the event went on the launch. Darren Grocott, hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
So it's been a busy time of organisation, and finally everything's come together.
Yes, relieved, to be honest, because you know, it was all coming down after a year in progress. It was all, you know, building up to the last sort of 2 weeks to that. 5 days and into the last 10 hours of, you know, then the weather let us down. The one thing you can't control is the weather.
But who's going to let the weather spoil an event like that one? And you just carry on regardless. So how many turned out? Because it was the sponsors who were invited.
Yeah. So the close friends of family and, you know, old band friends of Kelly from the Vibras, right through to ELO Part 2. So we had Mick Kamensky there from the Electric Light Orchestra, who travelled down from Leeds. A few people through from Germany, who backed the plaque. So yeah, there's quite a few people that turned up. There's about 50, 60 people in the actual morning in Coseley at the hall opposite 39A. And then on the evening for the party, there's around 90 people that turned up for the actual party, the celebration where friends and family and old band members paid tribute to Kelly.
That must have been an amazing night as well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was good to go into the, you know, to keep it all, try and keep it as local as possible. And we're in the New Hampton Arts Centre in Wolverhampton, which is right by the Molyneux, as you know it. And a really good venue there. Chris Brown does really proud, you know, running the night and sorting the sound out. And I was sort of trying my best to be the production manager.
and tearing the hair out as you went along, I'm sure.
Yeah. So but it was amazing. Yeah, really, really good day. And obviously the whole family was relieved. It went off without a new sort of hiccup. So yeah, there you go. Good.
Well, pleased for you that it's all done. And what happens next? Because basically it's going to be part of a tour of the Midlands. Whenever anybody wants to look at the music and the history of our area, they're going to be able to see the blue plaque on the wall. So tell us where it is so people can go and look at it.
39A Gough Road, Coseley. So anyone who's sort of doing that history of, I think it's the only blue plaque in the borough that's on the outside of a private house. The other five are indoors. And I think it's going to be, I don't know whether the council sort of mentioned in the first interim that it'd be linked to the Blackcountry Museum as a part of, you know, part of that sort of tour, being the tour guides of like going, you know, go down the street. So hopefully it'll bring a bit of business into the Coseley area, even if someone just stops off to buy a coffee or a, you know, whatever. At least people are going to see it. I'm sure we'll be seeing all sorts of tributes being paid and photographs.
Well, I think there's going to be plaque selfies, aren't there? I think that must be the in thing these days.
Yes, exactly. So, there's already, like, you know, two or three on Sunday morning that I've seen. So, you know, and detriment to the people that actually live there, who really welcome the idea of having this, because I suppose it's made their house sort of heritage status now, I suppose.
Yeah, it shows the unique nature of it, and it's part of the music memorabilia of the Midlands, and deservedly a massive place in the history of the of the region, and the music that came out of ELO, and having seen Kelly perform with his work, he was just an amazing powerhouse and a fantastic fella.
It is that sort of, you know, my cousin, his son, eldest son, Chris, alluded to it. It's that if this could be a signpost for legacy, like a signpost for people to actually walk past in the future who don't even know who ELO are and go, who's this guy? He lived here then? And then go and research and actually be... And then even if, you know, as many take up the guitar or take up singing or take up any instrument from just being, you know, living down the road from a blue plaque is then getting inspired by it. That was my, you know, the whole thing was like... A small man from a small town, a small street, becomes, you know, he's able to sell over 50 million records worldwide, then anyone, you know, anyone can have a go at it.
Well, inspirational in life and now inspiring people, hopefully, for many, many years to come.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully everyone will be able to go and see it and then buy more of the old records and even go and see, you know, when this orchestra passing through, which is his last band.
Mm-hmm.
When that orchestra passes through, we're actually going to see and hear the music.
Yeah, enjoy that. Well, is there still a web presence for the plaque campaign as well? Can
you
actually see?
Westbishes.org is the official sort of site of the campaign, which is where we'll be posting anything to do with the blue plaque there on it, like the legacy of it. So obviously still, we've got the recordings and the tracks from archives that we're reworking now as a family with three or four of the backers who actually contributed to be part of that. So that's going to be going on now over the next sort of 2 months or so. There'll be various recording sessions building up to a EP, if not long for like an album. So we'll be keeping you posted on UVM to play that on your show.
I'd love to hear that and we'd love to talk to you again then. That'd be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
So that website again is?
Westbishes.org.
Westbishes.org. Darren, great speaking to you. Thanks again. Congratulations on pulling the whole event together. And as you suggested, there is music to come. And we do very much look forward to hearing that in the near future.
Thanks a lot. Pleasure.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a lot for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to having you around for next week's show, episode 305. We'll be back then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the mill bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.